It is really fun to be back. If you're visiting today, I'm a guest preacher, and I'm the last guy between you and your pastor, Matt. So I'll make this quick. Okay? No, it's just really fun to be with you, but if you don't like what I have to say, come back. I won't be here next week. All right? All right. Hey, as you walked in, you might have gotten a little thing like this. It's a little donor impact, because Wendy mentioned that you guys are now a partner church with us, and if I get boring, you could read this while I'm preaching, but I appreciate maybe you grab one on the way out if you'd like. It tells you a little what's been happening and the way in which some of your support has been impacting the university, and so thank you so much. And I'm so glad to see you guys. I'm glad that you're out here on this beautiful day, and I hope to encourage you. Here's a little picture of where I'm from. If you might remember seeing that in January, I was here. And so it's just a real honor, by the way, to be invited back, because I preach a lot of places once. And so, you know, it's okay, shroom, right over. Those are the daytime students. And for those of you who don't remember the story, down the bottom left, that was the very first campus of San Jose Bible College that my grandfather started back in 1939, down the South Bay. And we moved to Rockland. So if you're headed to Tahoe sometime and you want to swing by, I'd love to get you lunch in the cafe. The first time, you'll pay for it after that, okay? And, but swing in, great food in the cafe, and about 1,800 students in total now. And God's doing a great work, and we're looking forward to starting up here in just a couple of weeks with our daytimers. They'll all be back. We'll gather on the ramp like that again, take a picture, and God's doing some great things. But I didn't come to give you a commercial, and you can pick up something about that. I came just to come encourage and challenge you. I've got a bunch of stories. And so I hope you hang with me, that I hope will be encouraging to you. I like to preach. For 14 years, I was a pastor. For the last 23, I've been training young people whom I send out to be pastors at churches. One of our degree tracks is ministry degrees. And I love God's word, because there's times when it hits me and I go, man, I have just got to share that story with somebody who will listen. And I've got you for the next few minutes, right? My job is to talk and yours is to listen. If you give up before me, raise your hand, okay? And then I'll land this plane and let you out of here. But I'm going to leave you wishing I'd have said more than wishing I'd have shut up, I hope. I want to talk to you about being patient with the Lord. And patience is a tough thing, right? You don't want to pray for patience. Y'all know that one, right? God will bring you more things to try to be patient with. So don't pray for patience, but I just want to challenge you to be patient with God. And I find in Scripture this great story, and we're going to talk about it in just a minute, but I've got a lot of other little stories that relate to this story of patient faith. There was this guy named Philip Brooks, many years ago, a preacher, pastor. He was in his office, and he was pacing back and forth. He was obviously a little upset. He was anxious about something. Someone saw him, said, "Dr. Brooks, what seems to be the problem?" And he said, "The problem," as he thought about it, "the problem is that I am in a hurry and God is not. Your health," some of you have been praying for your health or the health of somebody you love, and you wonder, "God, come on." Your financial situation, your job situation, your relationships, marriage, your kids. "God, I've been praying, I've been working, I've been hoping, I've been leaning, I've been trusting. Come on, God." Amen? Would a few of you give me a nod? Yeah, good, just don't nod off. Okay, I just want to make sure I'm hitting the right chord here. To be patient with God, it's not an easy thing. There are a lot of great stories in Scripture we could look at. I mean, ones that you probably know about. Noah, God says, build a boat, put your family on it, put a bunch of animals on it, get on. 6 months of floating around in the water. You had to be smelly in there, huh? It had to be smelly. And Noah's wife saying, "Come on, when are we landing this thing?" You had to wait on God. Could look at Moses, 40 years wandered with the children of Israel in the desert. And all the ladies in the group were just wishing he'd ask for directions. Amen, ladies? And they're wandering 40 years. 40 years. Come on, God, what are we doing? Before they would be entered into the promised land. Abraham, we could talk about Abraham. Abraham, you're going to be the father of a great nation. Wow. Okay, God. He tries to take things in his own hands because he's getting older. It doesn't work right. Finally, Sarah has a kid. He's 100 years old. You imagine a 100-year-old man with a little baby? Read a story about this guy in the grocery store. He decided to take his grandson into the grocery store. Walking around the grocery store, kid is just fussing and crying and wailing and screaming. And he just keeps calmly saying, it'll be okay, Albert. We're going to make it through this, Albert. Hang in there, Albert. You can do it, Albert. This lady overheard him, came over and said, my, what patience you have with your little grandson, Albert. He looked at her. He looked at the kid. He said, patience nothing, lady. My name is Albert. You with me? Here's a little of what I'd hope for you this morning. I'd hope for you this morning. Some of you laugh last. That's good. It takes a while to sink in, huh? Here's what I'd hope for you a little bit. That maybe you'd, from some of my words, with the Holy Spirit, in this place right now, maybe you'd talk to yourself a little bit. Or maybe the Spirit would talk to you a little bit about, you know, I think I can hang in there with God. I think I can be patient enough to wait on him. There's a guy in Scripture that I want to key on, that I want to look at, his story, okay? And here's the coolest part about his story, is that he never heard from God. God never spoke to him. And that's why I love his story, because folks, I got to tell you, I've never heard God's voice. He's never spoken to me. And maybe some of you have, and I would never take that from you. If you feel like you've heard God's voice, that's awesome as long as it matches God's word. Amen? Uh-huh. And you talk to somebody else whom you know walks with the Lord, and you say, this is what I feel like God has told me, and they agree with you, man, you hold on to it. That's awesome. But you know what? I've never heard God's voice, but I have heard him when I've been reading his word. Amen. And I thought to myself, God, that was for me. You're talking to me, and he's talking to you. And this guy in Scripture, you see, Noah, it says the word of the Lord came to Noah. Build a boat, Noah. That would be weird, wouldn't it? You know, and an angel came to Moses, said, you're going to be the father of a great nation. Or to Abraham and to Moses in a burning bush. I mean, those are crazy ways to have God talk to you. That'd be cool. I'd love that. But Joseph's who I want to talk about. And you know, Joseph in the Old Testament now, okay? The Old Testament in Genesis. And if you want to check up on me sometime, it starts about Genesis 37. There's a whole bunch of chapters, so I'm just going to be paraphrasing the story this morning. Jesus was a storyteller, and there were great lessons within the story, and that's what I'm going to do for you this morning. But Joseph never heard from God. He never heard God's voice. But he had some dreams. He had some visions. He had some ideas of what God wanted him to do. And it was interesting. I want to paraphrase his story for you. That means I'll tell it in my own words, okay? And then hopefully you'll find the lessons within. I'm sharing this message because I need it to be patient with God. Joseph had 11 brothers. We don't know how many sisters. His daddy's name was Jacob. His mama's name was Rachel. There were four moms. Four moms, and his birth mom was Rachel. Now, this was a big family. And not unusual at that time, but not healthy either. I mean, have you ever rented VeggieTales and watched VeggieTales? You know, you with me? A few of you know. Okay, it's an animated story on the Bible. It's pretty cool if you got kids. But this was not healthy. And in fact, there was great favoritism. There was great favoritism towards Joseph from his father, Jacob. Remember the coat of many colors he gave him? The brothers are jealous. Joseph starts having some dreams. Doesn't hear from God, just has dreams about what's going to happen. He sees the sun, moon, and stars bowing down to him. Well, it sounds kind of arrogant until we read the whole story and realize that it would be because he would be put into power to save many lives. He saw the sun, moon, and stars bowing down to him. He even saw his brothers bowing down to him. He should have kept that to himself. Amen. But he shares it with his brothers. I see a dream, you bowing down to me. Oh, they really hate him now. So they sell him to some passing Ishmaelites. If you've ever watched the news lately, okay, there's a lot of stuff about Israel and the Gaza Strip. They're up in that area. And they come down, the Ishmaelites are coming through, their brothers sell Joseph. They sell him. My sisters, I have two older sisters. I was the youngest. I was the brat of the family. Just speaking plainly. They tried to sell me at a garage sale one time. Hung a sign around my neck. I didn't know what it said. I was too young. My parents told me about it later, for sale, you know. It'd be terrible. It'd be terrible that your family would sell you. And he ends up in Egypt as a slave in the home of Potiphar. Potiphar is the chief guard of Pharaoh. Okay? And he ends up a slave. That's not the dreams I had, God. What's going on? Now I'm in a foreign land, foreign foods, foreign culture, and I'm a slave in this home. Hold on to that story for a second. Because Joseph would be patient. I want to tell you a quick fable. Remember how I said I had stories within a story? Here we go, a quick fable for you to set up the first point that I hope you'll hold on to. There was this great king many years ago who had an awesome friend. The friend was an optimist, always saying, this is good, this is good. Didn't matter what happened, his friend would say, this is good. They're out hunting one day, and the friend loaded the muzzle-loading rifle for the king. The king saw a buck. He picked up the rifle. He fired at the buck. The gun had been loaded improperly. The whole back end blew up. His thumb gets blown off. He's bleeding all over the place, and he's yelling at his friend because his friend is saying, it's okay, O king. This is good. And the king says, no, this is not good. I have no thumb. And he threw his friend into jail. A couple of years later, the king is healed up, has no thumb, but he's healed up, and he's out hunting by himself, far from his kingdom. And these cannibals capture him. It's a fable, just go with me, okay? These cannibals capture him. They take him back to the village. They're going to cook him and eat him until they realize he has no thumb. Being very superstitious, they wouldn't eat anything that wasn't whole. They let him go. As he's walking back to his kingdom, he realizes, if I had my thumb, I would be dead. My friend, he was right. This is good. I would be dead. He goes to his friend. He lets him out of jail. He tells him the whole story. His friend says, it's okay, O king. This is good. He said, how can you say this is good? I threw you into jail for 2 years. And his friend says, no, O king, this is good. If you hadn't thrown me into jail, I would have been with you. You with me? Yeah. Here's the first point that I get in Joseph's life. Isn't that an awesome fable? That is so cool. What a great moral to it. Here's the first thing I get about Joseph's life. He had these great dreams. They weren't working out the way he thought they should. Just like you. You don't think God knows what he's doing sometimes. You know why I know that? Because I don't either. Sometimes I don't think God knows what he's doing. Say, God, why are you doing this? Here's the first thing. If you're taking some notes, or just hold on to this mentally, what looks bad now, God may use for good. I have to use the word may because he's God and I'm not. I'm not going to tell him what to do. But if you look back on your past and you see the things that you determined were bad, how do they look to you now, years down the road? What God... What looks bad now to you, God may use for good. So who are we in our little finite minds? Who am I? Don't let me put this on you. You decide if this is on you or not. I'll put it on me. Who am I to decide, God, that is a bad move that you would let this happen? What are you thinking here, God? Why are you doing that? Why aren't you doing this, Lord? If I was God, I would do this. What are you doing? You with me? What looks bad now, God may use for good, but I have a hard time as a finite human being really knowing what is good except what God has done. And sometimes I look at it and I wonder, is that good? Joseph would be patient with God. He's a slave in the home. Go back to Joseph. He's a slave in Potiphar's home. Potiphar's wife starts to notice he's looking pretty good. If you know the story, this is where it turns PG. Cover your kids' ears. I'm sorry. She starts to make advances towards him. She wants him. He says, no, how can I do this? This is wrong. You're married to Potiphar. He flees her presence. And he actually says this, how could I do such a wicked thing and sin against my God? Interesting line, huh? He doesn't say, how could I do such a wicked thing and sin against my own body or against your husband or against you? How can I do such a wicked thing and sin against my God, he says. Then she claims that he attacked her and has him thrown into jail only for doing what he believed was right. Here's a second point. If you take this home with you, what looks bad now, God may use for good. In the bad times, you got to keep doing the right thing. In the bad times, you got to keep doing the right thing. It is so easy, and I'm just talking about me now. You decide if this is you as well. It's so easy for me when things are not going well to say, well, God, then forget it. I'm just going to go do this with my time, or I'm going to do this with my money, or I'm going to do this. You with me? Amen. It's really easy to say, God, I don't know why I continue to do this. Why? How can I be patient with you? Well, what looks bad now, God may use for good, but in the bad times, I got to keep doing the right thing. See, the truth is, if I've had some ideas about what God wants for my life, if I've had some visions about what the future could be, I cannot sin against the God who's going to bring it about. I can't say, God, I know you want me to do this. I know I should do this. I know I plan to do that. But right now, oh Lord, I want to do this over here. This is how I want to live. This is what I want to do. In the bad times, got to keep doing the right thing. Well, old Joseph, he's thrown into jail for doing the right thing. And yet he stays right with God. And to fast forward a little bit, Joseph's in jail a couple of years, and Pharaoh begins to have some dreams. Pharaoh has dreams. He finds out that Joseph can interpret them. Crazy dreams, by the way. Pharaoh's having these dreams. You got to watch VeggieTales sometimes. It's great. Pharaoh's having these crazy dreams. King of all of Egypt, right? But he can't sleep because these seven skinny cows are swallowing up seven fat cows. Seven skinny ears of grain are swallowing up seven fat ears of grain. I mean, if I was one of his advisors, I'd tell him to lay off the spicy foods. Amen? Right? But he just can't sleep, and he's having these dreams, and he knows they mean something. So he calls in Joseph. He hears about Joseph. Joseph comes out of jail and stands before the king. And the king tells him the dreams. And Joseph says, rightly says, I can't do this. But God can give you the answer you need. You know what he did? It's the third point here, the lesson that I learned. You got to give God the credit. Amen. You're going to be patient with God, then you remind yourself every day, it is God who has given me breath. It is God who has given me life. When you leave this place today, some of you will head off to a restaurant or you'll go home and you open the fridge. And when you sit in front of that food, more food than you actually need, amen? Come on, who's with me? Yeah, amen. Do you thank God for the fact that you get to eat today? There's a lot of people who don't. I know we can always say, well, it's their own fault or they've made those decisions. But we are blessed. Do you give God the credit? When you're driving up towards your house or your apartment or the house that someone else is letting you live in with them, no matter the situation, have you given God the credit lately to say, God, thank you for the fact that I have a roof over my head? In bad times, keep doing the right thing. Why? Because what looks bad now, God may use for good, but you got to give God the credit. If you stop giving God the credit, that's when you give up on God. That's when you lose patience with Him. When you stop saying, God, thank you for what you've done, and even in the midst of these trials and these problems and these issues, thank you for what you have done. Give God the credit. You realize that Joseph would then be put in charge by Pharaoh of all of Egypt, because he would tell Pharaoh the answer to those dreams. I'll tell you the quick story because I want you to understand what happened. Joseph says, you know what those dreams mean, O king? Those dreams mean you're going to have 7 years of plenty, and then you're going to have 7 years of famine. So you better save up for the years of famine, or a whole bunch of people are going to die. Wow. Pharaoh, so impressed, puts Joseph in charge of everything. This is 13 years after Joseph had dreams. 13 years. I don't know how long you've been dealing with the health issue, how long the relational issue, finance issue. I don't know how long you've been dealing with some things, but 13 years Joseph had to wait upon God. And God would come through to fulfill his dreams. Giving God the credit is not... it's not really all that hard sometimes, but we kind of make it hard. This little girl was going home with her daddy from church one Sunday. She said, Daddy, the preacher said something I don't understand. He said, okay, honey, what was it? Well, he said that God is bigger than all of us. Is that true? Her daddy looked at her and said, well, yeah, honey. She's driving the car. Yeah, that's true. God is bigger than all of us. Well, then the preacher said that God lives inside each one of us. Is that true? And he kept driving, thinking, well, yeah, honey, right, it is. It's very true. He lives inside each one of us. Well, she frowned and she shook her head and she thought, well, Daddy, if God is bigger than all of us, but he lives inside each one of us, wouldn't he show through? That's pretty good theology. Yeah, honey, he should show through. How do you give God the credit? I wonder if it wouldn't be by you stopping just to thank God for food today when you eat lunch, especially if you're at a restaurant, not stopping to pray to be seen, but stopping to pray knowing someone will see you. It's not arrogance, it's not pride, but realizing that somebody might see me thank my Heavenly Father for what He has done. Telling a friend how much God has done in your life might remind that friend how much He's done in theirs. Give God the credit. Give God the credit. Because in the bad times, you keep doing the right thing. Why? Because what looks bad now, God may use for good. And Joseph knew this. Well, we get 2 years into the famine. Maybe we're really fast-forwarding this story. You with me? I'm skipping a lot of good stuff, but these are the four things. Just four things. I don't know if we'd want to hold on to more than that. I have to have notes to remember them myself. We get 2 years into the famine. Okay, there are 7 years of plenty. Joseph's got this whole storage program going on. Grain is being stored and all kinds of crops being stored. The animals are reproducing like crazy. They got all kinds of animals and livestock. Now we get 2 years into the famine. No one else in the region knows, other than in Egypt, no one else knows it's going to be a famine. Well, his brothers and family are still up along the eastern seaboard of the Mediterranean. They start to starve. Everything's dying. But they hear there's food in Egypt, so they come down to Egypt with all the gold and silver they can carry, and they're looking to buy some food. And as they line up in front of this guy, whom they don't recognize as their own brother, probably had his head shaved, you know, probably had makeup on. You ever seen Charlton Heston in the Ten Commandments? Okay, come on. So, you know, probably they don't recognize him. Scripture says they don't recognize, but he recognizes them. And I think to myself, wow, what would I have done? Revenge comes to mind pretty quick. Payback comes to mind pretty quick. And he does some fun things with them. You know, you got to read Scripture. It's pretty cool what he does with them and stuff to get them to kind of, you know, come around. But then finally it says this in Scripture. He goes behind a curtain at one point when they're all in front of him. Goes behind a curtain and it says he weeps. because it dawns on him what God had done. I hope you have a moment like that in life. I hope you have a bunch of them, where you stop and you go behind the curtain and you weep, thanking God for what he has done. Because you didn't understand it, but you stayed faithful to him in it. Amen. You with me? Yeah. Because you kept giving God the credit in the midst of the circumstances, not for the circumstances, but in the midst of them, giving God the credit and rejoicing in him. And so what does he do with his brothers? He comes back out and says, you know, you meant to harm me, but God meant this for good. The saving of many lives. So go get your family, and they can all come and live with me here. I'm going to take care of you. As he would for hundreds of thousands of other people living in Egypt at the time. Wow, learn to forgive. That's the fourth point that I would take home, that I hope you will take home. Learn to forgive, man. It's not an easy thing to do, is it? Because we can get hurt these days, and people can be mean and rude. Amen? Not to mention the people outside the church. No, I'm just kidding. We can be mean and we can be rude. And you know what? Sometimes you're going to walk in here even and someone's had a bad day and they don't smile at you. And you think, well, what's their problem, you know? And now you got a problem with them. I'm not going to sit near them. I'm going to sit over here because they're sitting over here. Hey, I was a pastor of a church for 14 years, okay? It's real easy to get into a habit of non-forgiveness, unforgiveness. Let's walk that path for just a minute as I begin to wrap this up. What if you stop forgiving people? Okay, I ain't going to that grocery store anymore because she is there and I cannot stand her, so I'm going to go over here. Now you can no longer go to that store. I'm not going to that workout gym because that guy is a jerk. I can never forgive him for what he said to me. I'm not going to that one anymore. Now you're not over there anymore. I'm going to step on some toes, but I'm not going back to that church, man, the way they treated me. No way. All I did was want to try to love on people, but they didn't love me. I'm not going to forgive them. There was this guy on a deserted island. He'd been there for years. Finally, this ship is going by. They see this guy like this, you know. They see him. Finally, they see him. First ship in years. They send a little dinghy over. They talk to, the guy is ecstatic. Oh, thank you. Thank you. I've been here for years. I go, well, okay, we'll rescue. Where's everybody else? And he goes, no, it's just me. I've been here shipwrecked for years all by myself. They said, well, if it's just you, why are there three huts on the beach? He said, oh, well, the first hut, that's the one that I lived in. Okay, and the second hut, well, that's where I went to church. They said, well, that's great. What was the third hut? He goes, oh, well, I don't like to talk about that one. That's where I used to go to church. Come on, that's funny. If you're not laughing at that, there might be some church pain, okay? That's a good one. It's amazing. We get so ticked off. We get so ticked off, can't sometimes even forgive ourselves. Learn to forgive, man. Why? Because Jesus said, I've forgiven you much. Forgive others as you've been forgiven. You all know the Lord's Prayer, right? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, the kingdom come, the will be done, yada, 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 yada. Do you ever read, keep reading? The next verse says, for if you do not forgive your brother when he sins against you, my heavenly Father will not forgive you. Ouch. Ouch. What he's saying is, look, I've given all for you. How about you give a little something to your brother and sister by forgiving them? Because you're going to walk into this place and there are sinners in this place. I know because you let me in. There are people who are going to make mistakes. They're going to say things that are wrong. They're going to hurt somebody out of frustration of the weak. Forgive them, man. Just as you have been forgiven. Amen? Yeah. Well, this all starts, of course, in the heart. Joseph obviously had the right heart, man. He just decided that God had given him a dream about what he could do and how he would help others. I believe maybe God has given you a dream about what you should be, how you should live, how you should love, how you should give him the credit, how you should forgive. But it all starts right here. There was this guy who was headed towards this little village. As he was getting near the village, he saw a wise man sitting on the side of the road. He said to the wise man, "What are the people like in the village ahead?" And the wise man looked at him and said, "What are they like in the village you just came from?" He said, "Well, they were pretty mean. You know, they were rude. And I had few friends because they were not nice people." The wise man looked at him and said, "So you will find them in the village ahead." A few minutes later, another guy came walking along and he said asked of the wise man the same question, "Sir, can you tell me what are the people like in the village ahead?" And the wise man said, "What were they like in the village you just came from?" He said, "Oh man, they were great. I mean, they weren't perfect, but I loved them and they loved me. And we had a good time together. I kind of hated to leave." The wise man said, "So you will find them in the village ahead." What changed? Definitely not the village, but the heart of the traveler. The heart of every person sitting in this room. What looks bad now, God may use for good. If you're going through some real problems right now, I get it. We're all unique, but our situations are not. We go through some of the same problems, and I know the problems some of you are going through. The people sitting next to you know some of the problems you're going through and the challenges. What looks bad now, God may use for good. Okay? In the bad times, you got to just keep doing the right thing. You just decide to do it. This is what I will do, God. I will do what is right, even though I'm in bad circumstances. I know you're walking with me. And you may use this for good. And I'm going to look back on this someday and say, "Thank you, God, for what I learned through it and what you did in it. I'm going to keep giving you the credit, God, for all that you've done in my life. And on this journey, I'm going to forgive those around me who I think are hurting me, who need my forgiveness as I have been forgiven. In Jesus' name." Father, thank you for the chance for me to share. In the inadequacy of my words, oh God, I thank you for this wonderful family here in Benicia. God, there is a light that shines from this church because every person who walks in these doors, they carry the light. Your truth, your love, and your grace. And I pray, oh God, that that light will burn brightly as they leave the doors today. They go from this place, Father, that they would be patient with you. They would lean on you. They would hang on to you. And they would love one another in the process. May it start with me. We'll give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.